Welcome to History Lost in Time, from one enthusiast to others. And welcome to episode 19 of the History Lost in Time podcast. Yes, podcast, meaning no pictures, no videos, only audio. It seems like I have to mention this from time to time, because a look at my YouTube statistics reveals that about 80% of all viewers stop watching within the first minute, since they expect a video, not a podcast. A problem that most likely doesn't affect my listeners on podcast.de or Spotify, although admittedly I basically have no Spotify listeners.
Why this topic today?
I discussed the Brandenburg ships in episode 132 on my old YouTube channel. Back then, that episode was the start of a series about German battleships. This episode is not a copy of that. It is set up differently, using more input from books, and is part of the Navy section of the podcast.
Political background and commentary.
None.
The sources.
On top of Wikipedia, four books will help me in this episode. Admiral Scheer, Deutschlands Hochseeflotte im Weltkrieg. Translation, Germany's High Seas Fleet During the World War, published by Verlag August Scherl, Berlin, probably 1919, date of the foreword. Admiral Scheer talks a bit about how these ships were used during World War I. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Panzerschiffe um 1900, translation, Ironclads around 1900, published by Brandenburgisches Verlagshaus, Berlin, 1998. A new book from these two East German authors, which will provide me with information about Imperial German battleships and battlecruisers. Also, Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven, 1962, third improved edition 1964. As well as Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten, 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets, 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag Augsburg, 1998. And we already know these last two books. There was no naval arms race in the late 1880s, as there was during the 1900s and 1910s. However, as I have mentioned in previous episodes, the navies of the time were in a cycle of rapid technological innovation which shortened the lifespan of warships drastically and which forced the navies to constantly renew their equipment. The ironclads of the German Navy, which were built during the 1860s and 1870s, could now only serve in secondary roles. The attempt to get ships with battleship capabilities, with limited funding, meaning the Sachsen and Siegfried ships, had failed. And the Jeune École, the new thinking within the Navy, that demanded lots of small torpedo boats and claimed that the age of large warships was over, had turned out to be wrong. Torpedoes were still a short-range weapon, with ranges below 1,000 meters, and other countries were upgrading their naval forces. In 1889, Great Britain passed the Naval Defense Act. In this, the Royal Navy put the two-power standard into writing. It meant that the Royal Navy, back then the most powerful navy in the world, had to be stronger than the second and third strongest navies put together. Back then, these were the French and the Russian navies. This arms program demanded the construction of 10 new battleships, 42 cruisers and 18 torpedo boats, on top of what the Royal Navy already had. The core of this program were the 8 new battleships of the Royal Sovereign class, which were built between 1889 and 1894. These were 14,000-ton ships with a top speed of 17.5 knots and a range of 8,740 kilometers or 5,430 miles. They were armed with 4 343mm main battery guns, 10 152mm guns, 10 57mm guns, 12 47mm guns, and 7 torpedo launchers. France quickly followed. Between 1889 and 1891, the new battleship Brennus was built. It only displaced 11,370 tons and only did 17 knots, but the weapons were first class. 3 340 mm guns, 10 164.7 mm guns, 4 65 mm guns, 14 47 mm guns, 14 37 mm guns of different kinds, and 4 torpedo launchers. These ships, which I picked randomly, were superior to everything that Germany had. They had stronger armor, better weapons, and higher speeds. They simply outclassed anything the German Navy had, which would have left Germany without a chance in a confrontation at sea. All colonies would have been isolated immediately, and the German fleet would have either been defeated in a large battle or trapped within their own harbors. So exactly what happened during World War I. But even back then, this was easy to foresee. Prussia had endured similar blockades in 1864 and 1870-71. In order to keep up, new high seas capable battleships were required. Let's take a step back and talk about names and labels first. As we say in Germany, names are sound and smoke, meaning they usually don't mean a lot. However, I am well aware that there are plenty of people around that enjoy fighting over names and labels, so let me explain how I will handle this. The class of ships that started with the Brandenburg ships and ended with the Bismarck ships was built to decide a war at sea in one decisive battle. This is something where people agree on. So the role of these ships is always the same. What changes is the way the ships are being used and how they are equipped. The oldest term is ironclad. It includes any ship that has any armor and thereby differs from the old unarmored wooden sail ships. Initially, the Brandenburgs were called ironclads, but that term was quickly replaced with the name ship of the line. Admiral Tirpitz used battleships in divisions and squadrons in lines, just like old school sail ships, so the term ship of the line comes from the way these ships are used. Israel Gebauer have a diagram in their book on page 143 in which they differentiate between ships of the line, dreadnoughts, super dreadnoughts, battleships, and fast battleships. That is very close to the English terms, where one differentiates between pre-dreadnoughts, dreadnoughts, super dreadnoughts, and fast battleships. My personal opinion, which you should feel free to disagree with, is that all of these are battleships. There are no scientific criteria to differentiate between these ship classes, there are only more or less accepted factors and conditions. So everyone is basically free to use their own terms. I don't see the need to cause more confusion with more terms. I will explain what these ships can do in my episodes, but I will stick with the term battleship. I'll mention the others only here and there a bit. The change in government in Germany in 1888 had positive effects on the Navy. Under the old Emperor Wilhelm I, Reichschancellor Otto von Bismarck, and the army generals at the head of the Navy, this branch of the military only played a minor role. However, Emperor Wilhelm II was a naval enthusiast. Due to his English relatives, he had seen a lot of the British Navy and he wanted Germany to have a similarly impressive force at sea. Alfred von Tirpitz was the man within the Navy that he needed to make this happen. In 1889, Wilhelm II restructured the leadership of the Navy and laid the foundation for its massive expansion. During the 1880s, several variants of a high seas battleship design had made its way through several levels of bureaucracy. The design was completed in 1889 and Reichschancellor Bismarck managed to get it passed by the Reichstag in 1889-1890. The Brandenburgs were smaller than the British Royal Sovereigns, but they were comparable to the French ships. They were blue water ships, meaning they were capable of traveling the high seas, the first large warships of that kind that Germany had built since the 1870s. It is also important to note that the construction of these ships did not cause the naval arms race with Britain. At this point in time, Germany's naval power was nothing that the major naval powers Britain, France, or Russia had to worry about. The Brandenburgs displaced a bit more than 10,000 tons and had a length of 115.7 meters. They had a width of 19.5 meters and a draft of around 8 meters. The triple expansion engines created 10,000 horsepower, which enabled the ships to travel at a top speed of 16.5 knots. So they were a bit slower than the British and French ships, but a lot faster than the old ironclads. Their range was 8,300 kilometers or 5,200 miles. The crew consisted of 530 sailors and 38 officers. The main armament consisted of six 28-centimeter guns in three turrets. One turret was at the front, one at the back, and one at the center of the ship. This third turret had slightly shorter gun barrels, which reduced its maximum firing range, 14.45 kilometers instead of 15 kilometers. But the effective range of 11 kilometers was the same. Back then, combat was expected to happen at very short distances of maybe 1 to 3 kilometers, so the maximum range wasn't really that important. However, the rate of fire was very low, with one shot every 2 to 3 minutes. The British and French ships had even larger calibers, but their rate of fire was even slower, at one shot every 3 to 4 minutes. With the technology of the time, this was as good as it got, and that is also the reason why these old battleships didn't have that many main battery guns. For a while, the secondary battery was considered to be more important than the main battery guns. By using three turrets and a total of six guns, the Brandenburgs equalized their disadvantage of having a lower main gun caliber. Somehow they were closer to the dreadnought type battleships that would appear later and which would put their focus on the main battery guns. However, these old guns, with their low rate of fire and their bad accuracy, were unable to achieve the same effect as the guns that the dreadnoughts later used. The secondary battery of the Brandenburgs consisted of six 105mm guns with a range of 10 to 12 kilometers and a rate of fire of 7.5 shots per minute. On top of that, there were eight 8.8cm guns with a range of around 7 kilometers and a rate of fire of 10 to 15 shots per minute. Thanks to the quick-firing guns, the Brandenburgs were able to put a lot of gunfire on a target and to balance out the low rate of fire of the main battery guns. The ships were also equipped with six 45cm torpedo launchers. These torpedoes could either travel a range of 500 meters at 32 knots or 800 meters at 26 knots. The ships were also equipped with a ram at the front, something that shipbuilders would only abandon during World War I. Modern times required the installation of electrical power generators in order to run the modern equipment on board. The SMS Brandenburg and the SMS Wörth were protected by compound armor which used a combination of different types of steel. The SMS Kurfürst Friedrich Wilhelm and SMS Weißenburg were already equipped with superior nickel steel armor. The armor was responsible for about a third of the total displacement of the ships. Initially, the ships used torpedo protection nets. However, these proved to be impractical and they also deteriorated quickly, so they were abandoned after a few years. Construction of SMS Brandenburg started at the Vulcan shipyard in Stettin in 1890 and she was commissioned in November of 1893. SMS Weißenburg was built at the same place and commissioned in October of 1894. SMS Wörth was built at the Germania shipyard in Kiel and commissioned in October of 1893. SMS Kurfürst Friedrich Wilhelm, however, was built by the Imperial shipyard in Wilhelmshaven and commissioned in April of 1894. Both Brandenburg and Kurfürst Friedrich Wilhelm suffered damages during their shakedown cruises and needed extensive repairs in 1894. On SMS Brandenburg, a boiler had exploded, which had caused 41 deaths and 7 wounded. During their life cycle, the ships were constantly upgraded and modified. Among the first modifications was the installation of 12 37mm machine cannons in 1896. These were supposed to be used against torpedo boats. In 1900, radios were installed in order to establish communications when the ships were used on long-range missions. From 1902 to 1904, the ships were extensively overhauled. The superstructure, the engines, and the coal bunkers were modified, and new 105mm guns were installed. The torpedo armament was reduced, though. The ships were considered to be good and rather seaworthy. In 1894, they formed the 1st Battleship Division. Since they were the most impressive ships of the German Navy, they often escorted the yacht of Emperor Wilhelm II during state visits and official business. They had their first real missions during the Boxer Uprising of 1900 in China. The ships were sent out to reinforce the international force, however, they didn't see combat. The long mission and the long voyage to China via Gibraltar, the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, the Indian Ocean, the Strait of Malacca, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Shanghai did provide the German Navy with valuable experience regarding high seas missions with battleships, though. When they returned to Germany, the Brandenburgs had been surpassed by newer designs. The battleships of the Kaiser Friedrich III class and the Wittelsbach class outclassed the older Brandenburgs significantly. Despite the already mentioned overhaul, the Brandenburgs were put into reserve in 1907. Following the introduction of the dreadnought, they were hopelessly obsolete. One has to realize that basically every part of a warship back then underwent rapid modernization. Building materials, armor, weapons, ammunition, assistance systems on board, electrical devices, radio, observation systems, targeting systems, torpedo protection. Just consider this. HMS Dreadnought, commissioned in 1906, was equipped with more main battery guns compared to SMS Brandenburg. And these had larger caliber, a better rate of fire, better accuracy, and more effective ammunition. The ship was also faster and had better armor. Under these circumstances, the Brandenburgs basically had no chance in a confrontation and no value in a fight. SMS Brandenburg and SMS Wörth remained with the reserve fleet until 1911. They were regularly reactivated for training maneuvers. In 1912, they were decommissioned permanently. However, when World War I broke out in 1914, they were reactivated and restored to full combat readiness. Together with other obsolete ships, they formed Battleship Divisions 4, 5, and 6 in order to support the more modern ships with secondary tasks. The ships didn't see any combat. However, they were able to train new crews that could then be transferred to new ships. In 1916, both ships were deactivated and used as floating barracks. They survived the war and were scrapped in Danzig in 1920. However, Kurfürst Friedrich Wilhelm and Weißenburg had quite a different fate. In 1910, they were sold to the navy of the Ottoman Empire and commissioned as Barbaros Hayreddin and Turgut Reis. However, crew training was insufficient, so the ships suffered from engine problems constantly, which limited them to a top speed of less than 10 knots. During the Turkish-Italian War of 1911 and 12, the ships didn't see combat as the Turks feared a confrontation with the superior Italian navy. In the Balkan Wars that preceded World War I, both ships saw combat, however, due to their deteriorated state, their performances were not impressive. The ships were used several times to bombard Bulgarian positions. However, as neither the guns nor the targeting systems worked properly, the bombardments were rather ineffective. However, they had a certain effect on morale. The ship's armor did work, however, so they proved to be capable of withstanding enemy fire. When fighting Greek ships, the battleships scored no serious hits, but they also were not seriously damaged by Greek hits. When Turkey entered World War I in late 1914, both ships were prepared for combat. However, parts of the secondary battery were removed to reinforce the Dardanelles. When the Allies launched their Gallipoli campaign in 1915, both ships were used to bomb Allied landing parties. However, they both suffered gun barrel explosions and had to be repaired. During the Gallipoli campaign, the British submarine HMS E-11 torpedoed and sank Barbaros Hayreddin. 258 crewmen died. Following that, Turgut Reis was pulled out of the fighting and no longer used in combat. She was partially disarmed and her weapons were used by Turkish army units. She was only reactivated once in 1918 in order to help the battlecruiser Yavuz Sultan Selim, the ex-SMS Göben, which had run aground. The deactivated Turgut Reis survived the war and the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. In 1924 and 25, she was rebuilt as a training ship and kept only one of her main battery gun turrets. The other two formed the coastal battery Turgut Reis in the Dardanelles, which still exists today, by the way. In 1933, Turgut Reis was deactivated and used as a floating barracks until 1950. She was then slowly scrapped until 1957.
Finishing words.
The Brandenburg-class battleships were the first ocean-going battleships of the German Navy. They were a big leap, especially when one looks at their predecessors, the ironclads of the 1860s and 70s and the Sachsens and Siegfrieds. Considering that, they were very good and very successful. Obviously, there were things that weren't quite that great, but overall they proved to be quite capable and up-to-date ships. The naval arms race caused their life cycle to be fairly short, which also meant they didn't see combat. However, within the Turkish Navy, two of these ships saw combat in several wars. In the end, the Turgut Reis, the former SMS Weißenburg, survived both world wars and was only scrapped when Turkey was already part of NATO. She was one of the last ships of the Imperial German Navy that still existed at the time.
Thank you for your interest.